Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at the first. This is the living word of God, wisdom to all generations. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Nelson. Rabbi Harold Kushner once said, I look at the world and see three sorts of people. Those who dream boldly, even as they realize that a lot of their dreams will not come true. Those who dream more modestly and fear that even their modest dreams may not be realized. And those who are afraid to dream at all, lest they be disappointed. Before Jacob sets his weary head upon the stone to dream, and before your pity of him sets in, it bears telling you a bit of what led him to that moment, to that dream. Jacob's past is filled with poor decisions and reminders of his flawed humanity. The child of Rebekah and Isaac, whom we met 2 weeks ago in the scriptural story of their relationship, to them was born Jacob and Esau. And they had this love-hate relationship. Jacob loved to hate Esau. He took advantage of his brother, sought to exploit his family. Jacob did everything to squander the blessings of his life. Eventually, his brother Esau has enough. He vows to get revenge upon his brother for stealing his blessing, stealing his birthright. And so Jacob bolts. He absolutely runs and leaves. And leaving the problems of his past for an uncertain future. Out in the fields, tired from running, Jacob takes a stone for a pillow and sets down his head. As he's drifting to sleep, he looks up at the heavens, the same sky that was shown to his grandfather Abraham, where God declared that the number of the stars in the heavens would rival his generations. He looks at the vastness of it all, wondering about his place in the story of his people's lives. As one particularly dim star catches his eye, it seems to not sparkle as the others do, and as he closes his eyes to sleep, he wonders what light he adds to the darkness. In the night, he dreams. Dreams unlike he has ever done before. There were no fitful moments of sleep punctuated by dreams of Esau or dreams about his parents or his grandparents. Instead, he encounters God. And I almost asked Jim in advance to play Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven for this, because that totally would have filled some time. But I know, because it's about this. If you look up the translation, it says ladder to heaven, and if you look down in the notes, it says stairway. I was rocking to it when I was writing the sermon. But anyway, it says a ladder, a stairway, a ramp set upon the earth, the top of it reaching heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Ooh, and it makes him wonder. It makes Jacob wonder about God, wonder about the movement of the Spirit. But he's not left to wonder long as God comes alongside Jacob in this dream. He is blessed by that presence of the divine. Jacob is renewed in spirit. The covenant is reaffirmed, not just with his family, but with him. This scheming, broken man who ran away from not only his family, but his faith. This is the person to whom God comes. It's a recurring theme we see in the Old Testament and New, that God doesn't call the equipped or the skilled or the worthy or the saintly. God equips the called with the faith and the strength and the trust that they need. In that moment of holiness and acceptance and love and mercy, God promises to be with Jacob, to keep him wherever he goes. God reminds Jacob that he is not alone. And with a start, Jacob awakes. He looks at the stone and the dirt and the sky with a surprising lack of Led Zeppelin, and he declares, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." And Jacob was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." In that moment, his eyes are open, his life is transformed. He awakes to the presence of God in his midst where he thought God hadn't been. Without bricks and mortar and beautiful liturgies and hymns, the presence of God still manages to reach him, to startle and awaken him, to open our eyes to the realities that we tend to overlook. He places a rock there, pours oil over it, and calls it Bethel, meaning the house of God. One rock in this vast countryside becomes the symbol for God's presence. On my trip to Palestine and Israel, I wanted to have the words, "Surely God is in this place," on my lips. Before leaving, I had hoped for a holy awareness of God being in and through the buildings and the peoples and the places that for much of my life had been one-dimensional, like Bethel and Jerusalem and Nazareth. I've read the stories, I've imagined the dust on Jesus' face, the hills upon which he preached. But after we went to the first place where they said Jesus was buried, and then the second, and the multiple places of Mary's birth, it all felt very human. For example, in the Church of the Nativity, the place where they celebrate the birthplace of Christ, three churches share the space, Greek Orthodox and Armenian and Roman Catholic. And while the sharing seems beautiful and holy, when those Christians and our group and all of us pushed and crowded around the silver star upon which the manger was said to have been laid, it made me wonder as I stepped back saying, "Surely God is in this place?" I thought of Jacob in his field and the holy places that have been constructed around holier experiences, and wondered how we tend to overlook the simple ways that God is always with us. When I heard that Trinity United had made the difficult decision to sell their building, There's no better story that came to my mind to respond to that decision than Jacob resting his head upon stones out in the world, foregoing creature comforts and the comfort of routine in order to dream a new dream with God. While the problems of building and the worries of all of that behind, it's difficult walking into an unknown future. And I'm sure in last week's meeting, looking around at that venerable building, thinking of all the marriages and baptisms and funerals that have taken place within those walls, I'm sure it was easy to declare that surely God is in that place, making it a much more difficult to sell. But the God who is in that place is there because people were there to recognize that presence. People were there to open their hearts to the dreams God had in store for them. People were there to imagine a future both in the early days of its founding and in the present, moving beyond those stones upon which they have rested their heads. Holiness and our awareness of it has more to do with our awareness of God's actions than a certain specialness of that particular rock. In the same way, this year my parents made the difficult decision to sell the family home. I think they were worried about what us kids would think because they all took us aside separately, sat us down, had individual conversations, worried, I think, about what we would think. And as they told the story of the last couple of years of their life, the struggle with cancer with my mom, the uncertainty that it brought into their lives, the realization that it's just too big for them now, it was powerful for us as family to hear this new dream that they have in this pretty uncertain future for them. They've warned us they're going to camp out on our basement, on the futon. I guess turnabout is fair play. If I have to start doing their laundry, well, that's what comes of it. But in that, and in Trinity, and in Jacob, when we realize that God is more than stones, or dinner tables, or walls, that God is more than even us, we start to have an awareness of this deep presence that surrounds and binds and holds this world together. For God has dreams that are beyond us and encourages us to partner with them, even though we might not have every single detail worked out. For we are called to dream boldly, even as we realize our dreams may not come true. We are called to dream with our God and understand that God is in and through and with all people. This is the power of this text in Genesis. It's the power of the Isaac and Rebekah story. It's the power of next week's sermon. It's all the same through this Genesis story of our faith, this undergirding, this foundational text of who we are. God is with you. Thanks be to God. Because Jacob looked at the night sky, looked at the heavens after an uncomfortable night's sleep, after months and years of discomfort and challenge, of literally running away from the divine, and still God sought out Jacob. Still, God reminded him that he was deserving of blessing and hope. This is the God who finds Trinity in this moment, who walks with them and reminds them that they are not alone. This is the God who walks with us as we in this moment face a future we're unsure of. This is a God who blesses my family and yours, this world, with a hope and a presence and a dream that we are invited to participate in. For surely God is in this place, in our lives, moving and being, stilling and stirring. Thanks be to God. Amen.